As the man said, it's Talk 99.5. Matt Murphy, Valerie Vining, Matt and Val, with you until 10 o'clock this morning. 13 hours of live and local conversation. Pleased to have you with us. Valerie, I mentioned last hour that I've been in my home for 13 years, a home that I'm currently moving out of.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time. Congratulations.
On sale this Saturday at a premium because it is my house.
Yes.
And I moved into this house 13 years ago, the same year, I believe I'm right in this, the same year that our next guest began his syndicated radio show.
Is that right?
In
2008. Has it been 13 years? Goodness.
You can hear him nightly on Talk 99.5. Of course, he is author of many good books, to include Rescuing Sprite, one of my favorites, Ameritopia, Unfreedom of the Press, and his brand new one, American Marxism. And I know I'm skipping a few of them. He is the great one. Mark Levin joining us on the Matt and Val hotline this morning. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Matt and Val. How are you? You're a little off. Don't get me. Don't age me too much here. I think it was 2003 when I started. Maybe I started in Birmingham on the 2013, perhaps.
2000. Yeah, I had you at 2008, but no, you've been around for a long time. You've been preaching.
Oh, yeah.
You've been preaching to us who believe in the Constitution and America for a long time. And I'll start here, Mark, and I want to talk about American Marxism, of course. But there are a lot of our listeners that would love for you to speak directly to them this morning, because I feel a sense of almost a hopelessness, and I try to lift them up. Valerie tries to lift them up. I know you do as well. I believe in this country so much. I believe we can get over this. But there's a lot of folks feeling a little bit hopeless with the way the Democrats are going in Washington, D.C. right now and around the country. What do you say to them?
Well, and I definitely get it. We have these discussions in my own family. You know, we had Thomas Paine in the American Crisis, and talk about hopeless. They were badly losing the early part of the Revolutionary War, which had actually started in 1775. And he was a tremendous revolutionary, and about a third of the populace supported the revolution. A third of it actually opposed it. A third of it really didn't get involved in it. And the British were on the march, and they were trying to destroy what was left of Washington's mostly ragtag army. He had some regulars, but he had militia, and they were leaving every day. And on Christmas Eve, 1776, right before the Battle of Trenton, he reads from Thomas Paine's American Crisis, which was 47 printed pages long, but he reads from it to his troops, and he has his generals read it too, and before they're going to take on the Hessians and the British. And at the beginning, it's, we don't have time. I'll put it in my English. We don't have time for these people who are going to say they support liberty but won't do anything about it. Here we are confronted with the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Here we have the most important seminal battle in the short history of the Americas. And he tries to rally the troops. And this pamphlet, the wording of the pamphlet, the actual pamphlet spreads to 200,000 homes and pubs and so forth out of a population of 2 million. Literally, over 10% of the colonists had read it. And he rallied the American people, the colonists, to their own defense. That's the point of American Marxism. You can't be a Pollyanna about this and pretend these things aren't happening. Americans are actually feeling it. This isn't theoretical. This isn't abstract. Our schools are being destroyed. Our kids are being brainwashed. The border's wide, wide open. They're using something called climate change to attack capitalism. They're going after your lifestyle, your private property, and all the rest of it. And I spend the seven-chapter book, I spend the first six chapters explaining where all this comes from. It doesn't come from democratic socialism or social activism or progressivism per se. These are Americanized Marxist movements. I trace back the founders of these movements with real names, their writings, what they've said, which is why the book's over 300 pages long with over 400 endnotes in the back, which is why so far I haven't been attacked, but I will be, but we'll deal with the media when that happens. And this is why people are reading it. I can tell you that this book has sold almost 650,000 copies in 3 weeks. That's wow. A phenomenal amount of books. I'd certainly beyond my expectation. Because at the very end of the book, I say, we choose freedom. What are we going to do about these things? And most interviews I get to, they go right to that. Okay, Mark, what do we do? And this is the problem. If we don't understand what we're up against, we're not going to be able to claw our way back and defeat it. then we flail around. When you do a military operation or a political operation or you run a business against a competitor, you have to know who's doing what they're up to, where it came from in order to defeat it. And that's the point of the first six chapters. And then the last chapter is, I also have people interviewing me, well, we need to vote. Well, okay, we got that. I don't need to write a book about voting. We need to vote is true. But we need to be 24/7 patriots here. We can't just wait to vote and hope Republicans will do what they say they'll do. They don't. So there's a lot of things we can do about the teachers' unions and public schools. There's a lot of things we can start doing about these corporate boardrooms. There's a lot of things we can do about these colleges and universities. So I lead us up to that point, and I explain. We need to adapt some of the policies of the left, you know, without the Molotov cocktails. We need to adapt some of their organizational structures. We need to use BDS against them. We can use FOIA. We can use litigation. We can show up at shareholder meetings. There's a lot that we can do, and I hesitate to get into it because we don't have enough time, but I talked a little bit about it on Fox last night about teachers' unions as an example. We can show up at board meetings. What are we going to do when the teachers' union says, we don't care if you show up at board meetings. We're going to do what we want to do. So we want to show up at board meetings, but we need to go after the teachers' union through the IRS because they're vulnerable. I have filed complaints against them before. Through FOIA, we need to know everything we can about how they hire teachers, promote teachers, grade teachers. We need to know about how textbooks are chosen. We need all kinds of minutes and executive sessions. Again, state FOIA laws will give us that, and I have links and contacts and all sorts of stuff. So it's a very unique book that I lay out the scholarship. I explain what's going on, what these movements are, that unfortunately they're uniquely American Marxist movements. I also had Professor Kinkle, an expert on communism, on my Fox show last night. He was explaining, I sound terrible saying that, he was explaining how unique this book is because the old communists, they used to say, you know, we swear allegiance to the Soviet Union. That's not what's happening now. What's happening now is you see them tenured as professors and in our colleges and universities. I show you and tell you about the books that they're using, how they're talking to each other about how they're going to teach our kids to separate from their families and their faith and become activists for the cause. I mean, these universities and colleges really have changed where there isn't really academic freedom, where free speech is under attack. These are all the telltale signs of the kind of tyranny that is spawned by these movements.
You know, Mark, I wanted to ask you this, and it sounds like, and tell me if I'm right in what you are just saying, that this issue, and we hear it all the time from our callers, you know, what do we do after this election? We feel like the election was stolen from us. You know, we hear over and over again, hey, you know, don't give up on voting. We've got to hang in there. But this is, and from your book and from what you're sharing with us, sounds like a much, much deeper issue. And there's a lot more to this than, hey, we just need to, you know, make sure that everything voting wise is legal and right in all of our states. And the next time we have an election, it's okay. What you're saying is this has evolved over a long period of time and it's on top of us right now.
Exactly. That's right on. In other words, we can vote and vote and vote, but that's not going to change what's going on in your classroom today. And by the way, I want people to vote and vote and vote. That's not my point. My point is, it's as you say, it's bigger and deeper than this. We're subsidizing colleges and universities in this country, mainly through our state taxes, but also federal grant programs, but mainly state, to the tunes of hundreds of billions a year. We have no say on what goes on in these college campuses because they own them and run them. Well, we got to go on offense. We need to start thinking about that and not say, oh, what am I going to do? I'll vote. Well, voting's not going to fix that, even though voting will stop at the national level, especially what they're doing. Well, we can elect conservative school board members. I was a conservative school board member. I was elected 40 years ago when I was in law school. And those Republicans dropped so fast with pressure from the unions, it wasn't even funny. The votes were always on a 9-member board, 8-1 and 7-2. Even these parent teachers organizations are basically mouthpieces for the unions. The unions get their members on there and they control it. The entire educational bureaucracy is in their hands, whether it's elementary, middle, or high school, whether it is our colleges and universities. Why do we tolerate this? Let's go after these institutions. Let's do what the other side does. They flood the zone, they control the format, and we sit back and we send our precious children into this dynamic. And now they're openly abusing them. I mean, I don't want my kid to be taught about transgenderism and a whole movement when they're 8 years old. I told my grandkids, get the hell out of those schools, to my kids, to my grandkids. I don't want them being taught that they're racists when they don't even think that way. And we say, okay, you get 1 minute to speak at a school board meeting. What the hell is that? So the union has some obligations too. And as I say, I explain it in the book. With respect, they all have a certain tax status, and they easily violate these tax statuses, and I explain that in the book. Let's talk about corporations real fast. They have board meetings, shareholder meetings with the public income. We never show up at those meetings. The other side's always at those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have mutual funds? Do you have a 401k? Do you have an IRA? You know what companies you own stock in, because you own stock? Well, let's nationwide, let's organize, let's send a couple hundred people to these shareholder meetings and tell them what we think, what we demand, that they're supposed to be focused on profit, not on some radical kook agenda. They don't hear from us. You know, we turn on a few news channels, they hear talk radio. The other side doesn't conduct themselves that way. So I'm not saying you have to change your life 24/7, although they're focused on what they're doing 24/7. How about even if you read the book, passing the message along, explaining to people what's going on? People are afraid to say what I have on the book. This is American Marxism. There is no way around it. They give themselves different names in order to cover it. Oh, we're progressives. No, you're not. That's a name they came up with 120 years ago, and they patted themselves on the back. Those early progressives, they were enthralled with Marx. Some of them were enthralled with Stalin. One of the biggest ones was John Dewey, who destroyed public education in this country. He went to the Soviet Union in 1928. He watches Stalin's classes, how these kids are being indoctrinated, and he writes, comes back and writes for the New Republic how terrific it is, because you've got to abandon your individualism. You've got to abandon your free will. You've got to contribute to the communal, which, of course, is all Marxist claptrap. And he writes about it. He's written book after book after book. He's adopted the American education system, adopted it. I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't even know who the hell John Dewey was 10 years ago. Now I do. And there's others. And so people are interested in really digging into this, being patriots, being the Paul Revere's out there. I'm giving them the handbook.
American.
I'm not trying to be self-serving. It's the handbook.
American Marxism is the book. You need to go pick it up. You listen to Mark Levin every evening on Talk 99.5. Read his work. Real quick before you go, and I know you've got a boogie. I don't know if it was Liberty and Tyranny or Ameritopia where I first heard the term statist. I don't know if you coined the term. I believe you did. Are these Marxists, are they the statist? Have they now transitioned into the Marxist position?
Another great point. Statism is a word I first put in Liberty and Tyranny. I first saw it when I was going back and reading Aristotle, of all things. And I said, we don't use this word anymore. They're not liberals, but they're statists. That is, right, iron-fisted, big government types. Well, I've now evolved. No, they're statists, but specifically, what kind of statists?
Marxists.
This is American Marxism.
Right.
They have spawned into these various movements. They come at us from every direction. Joe Biden signs these executive orders, instituting and enshrining their agendas. The Democrat Party has embraced it. These members of Congress, the 4 or 5 or 10 of them, they call the squad. This isn't a squad. This is a cabal of America-hating Marxists. They back Cuba. They back Hamas. Why don't we accept what they say? Why don't we accept what they are so we can claw our way back and defeat these people rather than accepting their phony language?
Well, Mark, we could talk all morning long, and I know we'll hear you tonight as you appear on your talk show. Thank you so much for being a part of ours, and we encourage people to pick up the book and learn how this goes far deeper than simply the voting booth. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Absolutely. Take care. There's Mark Levin spending a few moments with us, author of the book American Marxism. We'll talk about that, reflect on it, because it's an excellent point that Valerie made and that he makes in the book regarding what our focus perhaps should be moving forward. Of course, elections, but it's more than that. 15 after the hour. Do remind you that this portion of the show brought to you by Royal Betting. My good friend Tom, along with Ginger, TJ, and the rest of the crew at Royal Betting would love to see you. I'm getting a new Royal Betting mattress when I move into whatever house I move into, because it's time. I mean, you know, mattresses don't last forever, and you know, it's not been 13 years, but it's been almost 10 years.
since I walked into the showroom at Royal Bedding and told Tom, I need a mattress, I need a platform that performs, and he delivered, and he can deliver for you as well. Give him a try, and I promise you, you'll never go back to another mattress. Custom-made mattresses just for you, RoyalBeddingInc.com, RoyalBeddingInc.com, or on the road, Highway 31 in Pelham. America in the lead in the medal category, 61 medals to China's 59. We will not be getting a gold medal in soccer. USA team losing 1-0.
To Canada.
7:20, good morning. In the meantime, what did you think of the great one there, Mark Levin?
I really like Mark, and I am very intrigued to read his book.
Well, I mean, he's right. Here's the unfortunate thing, is that what Levin is saying takes hard work. Mm-hmm. Hard work.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's relatively easy to call a radio show and complain about this election was stolen or that. I understand that. I understand the frustration. Don't get me wrong. I'm not begrudging it. It's a lot harder to go to these school board meetings or city council meetings like they're talking about, like you asked about.
Yeah.
I asked Mark, I asked the coolest mayor around, Brian Puckett, my Helena mayor, last time I saw him. Now, Helena's a town of what, 22, 24,000, something like that, mm-hmm. growing?
Yes, it is.
I said, Mayor, how many people were at the last city council meeting? Members of the public.
Right.
You know how many said? Two.
And that,
two.
This is the thing. We've got to undo what's been done, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's been done has happened over a long period of time. And
50 years.
Right. And hearing Mark, I mean, we got to get busy, and we got to get busy quick. And that means getting involved. And like you said, pull back the layers. Let's get back into it. You can't. The voting booth is the last. That's the icing on the cake, mm-hmm. that right? It's all that baking underneath before you get to that icing that needs to be taken care of. And we better start digging in and finding out what's going on with teacher unions, just like you said, go to council meetings, go to board meetings. I mean, you know, all those things are important. And if we don't get involved, then what's happening there is going to happen. It's going to evolve in the way that they want it to evolve.
Because I promise you, these academics in these institutions of higher learning, these academics on many of these school boards around the United States, they don't believe that they work for you. You are just an issue they have to deal with in every meeting. I promise you that's true. I promise you that even with the good school boards, okay? Even with the ones that are doing things that you think that's the right way to do it.
Right.
When it comes time for public input,
they don't really want it.
They don't want it.
They don't want it.
That's just a problem that they have to deal with. And then they move on from it and do what they want to do. Levin was right when, as he was answering your question, Valerie said, you know, and if these school boards, they, you know, some of them are still not going to do what you want them to do, well, you have to make them.
Yeah. I mean, it's your school, it's your child in that school, and if you don't play a role and play a part in what goes on, then they're going to do what they want to do, and that's kind of what's happening right
now.
Well,
and his point is similar to one that I made last week, maybe the week before. I understand paying attention to Washington, D.C. the way that we do. I understand paying attention to the presidency the way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the construction of our country, if you understand the manner in which we formed our country, our founding fathers, we should be paying attention to city council elections and county commission elections and school board elections far more than we pay attention to the presidency.
Yeah, I think we've had it backwards for a long time now, and it's time to look at that and realize that and get that corrected. Because again, he's absolutely right. It's, you know, it's not the top layer. It's the lower layer that we got to get involved in. And then from there, do what we need to at the voting poll.
Michael, we'll get to you momentarily. We'll get to your calls as well. 545-9950. We will have another radio host that I completely forgot about on air with us, Phil Williams from up in Huntsville. He is also with Alabama Policy Institute. He uncovered something with Birmingham Southern
that I wanted to discuss. Phil will either be here at 7:30 or 8. I thought it was 8 o'clock, but that's probably my failure. I think it might be 7:30. One way or the other, we'll have Phil a little bit later on, and then Andrew McLean. It's just, it's like a, it's a morning of talk show hosts.
That's good.
You know?
Informing
and then,
the
and
masses.
And there's you and me.
Yes.
Mean, and then
informing
we're
the masses on this Monday morning.
545-9950. Plus, America lost, and I'm getting a lot of heat for my take on it. It's the first time I've ever rooted for against an American team. And I root for against an American team. They kneel, I root against them. That's it. Talk 99.5, Matt Murphy, Valerie Vining, Matt and Val, 731. Phil Williams coming up at 8 o'clock. Former state senator. He's with Alabama Policy Institute now. Andrew McLean in the 9 o'clock hour. You, Valerie, and myself on the phones, 545-9950. That's the Birmingham Broker phone line, 545-9950.
And somebody we haven't talked to in a while, Matt Murphy, is on the hotline with us this morning, and glad she's on with us. Brooks Burdett, attorney at law. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Missing you after taking my little summer break, and I'm excited to be back with you.
Yes. Yeah, we're very excited about you being back as well. I know a lot of people are familiar with you and being a local attorney that they can rely on, and a lot of our listeners have come to you in the past. And again, we're thrilled that you're back with us and helping folks out with all kinds of things, Brooke, like wills and powers of attorney and living wills and things like that.
Yes, and you know, one of the things I was excited about getting back today is, you know, we kind of, it's like after the first year when the kids are getting fired up to go back to school, it's a good time to kind of reset this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get back on everybody's radar. With the kids going back to school, maybe your schedule's a little more flexible. You can come spend an hour with me and let's get your wills done, your powers of attorney, living wills. Just not something to put off. So as you're gearing up for the school year, maybe a good time to think about that. And you guys can just give me a call at 205-661-1800. Reach me directly by email. I am the only one that reads my emails, brooks@burdettlaw.com. Or you can certainly get us on our website, burdettlaw.com.
All good stuff. And I know that's a great idea, Brooks, with kids going back to school. And maybe you've got less on your plate with the kids at home, and they can take care of these things with you. So good. 205-661-1800 is how you can reach Brooks Burdett. And Brooks, thank you so much for all you do. And again, glad you're back on board with us.
Hey, Brooks.
Well, and I missed you guys. I was about to say, hey, Matt.
You know, Brooks inspired me. You know, as a complete aside,
yes.
Something Brooks said to me several months ago inspired me to do what I'm doing this weekend.
Is that right?
You know, it's kind of a...
What did she say?
Yeah, just kind of a get busy living or get busy done kind of thing. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had
a great,
that talk,
great conversation.
Didn't we, Matt?
We did.
Sure did. We sure did.
Well, he's busy, all right.
Yeah, well, you know. So I blame Brooks on all this.
All right.
No, yeah. Hey, blame that move, all the stuff you have to take. Summary to organize, all on me.
Oh.
Hey, guys, speaking of this weekend, I sure hope I'm going to see you Friday.
You better be there.
Well,
Jawbone Jam.
I know where we'll be. I hope that's you're there right. too.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I'm planning on doing a little stalking of you guys.
So good.
I'll be there.
Good. Well, we're thrilled. We'll see you then on Friday night. And we'll talk to you again this
Sounds
week.
Great. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, right. Brooks. You too.
Hopefully, Brooks Burdett and 500 of her closest friends.
Yeah, I told her. I said you need to come out to Jawbone Jam. Bring you a bunch of business cards and get you a logoed shirt of some sort. And come on, meet everybody. They would love to meet her. Yeah.
And if you don't have a logoed shirt, we'll have plenty of shirts with logos
there
on them.
You go.
That
you can purchase.
We're happy to sell you.
Mm-hmm. That have Talk 99.5 on and hats as well.
Hats, shirts.
I get hit up with that all the time. Hey, you know, where can I get one of your shirts? Where can I get one of your hats? This is it. Friday
Jawbone
night
Jam.
Is it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Looking
545-9950, the telephone number if you'd like to be a part of the show. Michael is next up in Thorsby. Michael, thanks for holding. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am doing just great. How about you guys?
Doing good,
Fabulous.
Michael.
I wanted to remind you that I start my day at 4:45 as far as going out to my vehicle. And, of course, at 4:45, we've got Red Eye Radio. And, of course, a lot of your listeners already drive trucks for a living. But a lot of drivers will find out what station carries Red Eye Radio, of course, with them being syndicated. So, of course, Red Eye Radio usually has conservative views, so... Just a reminder, if Red Eye Radio were to stop and Matt and Val were to begin, you would capture a lot of these people heard you say you used to arrive at 5 o'clock every day anyway. You remember saying that?
Mm-hmm, I do.
So, just a reminder, I'm a 5 o'clock freak with nobody to listen to. This morning, I heard the sound of a piece of my rear tire coming loose, and I said, Lord, please, you know, I got this car. I traded a 16x12 room for it. It's got no spare. Please, you know, let that piece fall off. And it did, you know, and my sister-in-law used to say that I had the Midas touch. Everything I touched turned to gold. I really just pray a lot. But I want you to know that piece after piece after piece fell off of that tire, and I made it to the Calera exit where there's a Walmart, and I parked my car right outside of the automotive section. And when they open this morning, I'm going to have two new tires put on the car. But I got to listen to my car, my tire coming apart instead of whatever his name is, Michael Toscano. So y'all spare me the agony and continue to think about the possibilities of a 5 o'clock freak like me.
I'm thinking on it, Michael. I promise you.
Y'all have a good day.
You too.
We didn't get a horn blow. Beep, beep. Oh, well.
So Michael called us and held that long, and he wanted to, I mean,
us
basically
to start at
5 o'clock. His was a plea. Well, I don't know that he cares if we start or just something else plays besides First Light.
Mm. Yeah, he's pretty persistent about all of that.
Well, I mean, I understand.
And I understand we could do 5 o'clock, but instead of getting up at 3:45, we'd be getting up at 2:45.
Well, and you kind of run out of gas. I mean, and who wants to hear 5 hours of this? I mean, most people can't handle 4.
Right.
For goodness sake.
Oh, I don't know the answer, Michael. I just hope you'll hang in there with us. Just hang in there.
You know, a lot of my left-of-center friends are coming after me on social media for my take on the U.S. women's soccer team losing to Canada. I don't care. I don't care.
I would ask those same people, how did you feel when Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee? And then a lot of other NFL players took a knee. And I do think that there's a difference between the NFL and U.S.
These people, I mean,
Olympic.
Liberals don't care. Liberals, they don't care if they take a knee.
Right.
They
you don't care.
Like it.
I care.
I'm saying that these are left of center people on social media that are going after, right?
Yeah.
So they don't care. They loved that Colin Kaepernick.
You're supposed to love every Olympic team, Matt, no matter whether they stand or take a knee.
Well, that's one of the interesting comments is that I pull for America. I'm American and I love my country.
Well, they don't.
And you don't love your country.
They don't love our country.
They don't love our country.
Right. Those players don't love our country. They're disrespecting our country and what our flag and national anthem stands for. That's what's disgusting.
Well, and by the logic of the left is that, you know, you get the biggest racist, xenophobic, ridiculous, bigot, whatever, and as long as he's good at a competition, you're going to root for him?
No.
Or her? No. That's not the way this works.
Nope.
I've never rooted against an American team in my life, and I rooted against the USA soccer team because they did not represent my country in the fashion that I would expect. I do not understand why it got to the point where you have players on an international field at an international competition wearing the colors of the United States of America, kneeling during the USA anthem, embarrassing the hell out of themselves in our country. By the way, they roomed with and played against people, maybe not specific to this tournament, but there are individual athletes in the Olympics that if they speak ill of their country, they could die for it. China.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
China is a good example.
Well, let's see them disrespect their flag in some form or fashion, and what will happen with them when they return to their country.
And so I recognize that it's a byproduct of the freedom that we enjoy in the United States of America that we see this going on. My point is this, that you got to have rules somewhere.
And why this isn't a rule, it just boggles my mind. If you're going to put on that uniform and represent our country, then these are the standards by which you will adhere to in order to play. And there are not that many rules. Just adhere to these.
And you can have all the opinions you want. It's a free country. You can express those opinions. That's fine. And I can turn my television off and I can root against you. That's how freedom works.
Yeah. Isn't it beautiful?
I say, go Canada.
Purple hair, go ahead and take your knee. Purple hair, good luck with selling your sandwiches because I'm not supporting any of that.
No, I don't support that. And once again, there is a tangible difference and a real difference even between Kaepernick and this team. Okay? I understand the Kaepernick debate. And I said from the beginning, my name is Bennett and I ain't in it. It doesn't have anything to do with me. I get to decide whether or not I'm going to consume the product. The producer of the product has to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And that is the ownership of the team. Mm-hmm. And the ownership of the team will either allow it to go on or not. And if they allow it to go on, I'm not consuming. Yeah. I didn't watch any NFL last year because of it.
And you weren't the only one. There was a lot of people that backed off of it, didn't buy those season tickets at the NFL games, and chose not to watch the games based on that.
But once again, I don't believe that there should be some rule exterior to the rules of the team involving kneeling or not kneeling or coming out or not coming out. That's it. That's up to the league and the team. I get to decide whether I'm going to partake in that process.
Well, and the thing is they should think about that. That should be a consideration when they make their decision, and they're not. They're basing their decision solely on the players.
Right.
You're missing the big picture, and the big picture is those people that work hard every day that want to watch football or want to buy the season tickets are saying, I'm not doing that. I'm going to take my hard-earned money and go spend it someplace else.
Or want to root for the USA in soccer. The difference, obviously, is that the ownership of the team ultimately is our country. They are representing our country. They wear the colors of the United States of America. And their protest, whatever it is that they choose to protest, I don't even know what they were protesting. What were they protesting?
I don't
know what they were protesting. If you protest something, shouldn't I know what you're protesting? I don't know what you're protesting. Are you protesting racism in America? Are you protesting the fact that Donald Trump's president of the United States? Hot tip, he's not. So I choose not to support that. I choose to support getting that off the world stage and getting better world stage stories up front and center. There are plenty of wonderful stories going on
at
the Olympic Games.
The swimmers have done an incredible job. And swimmers are just some of that.
He was watching this last night, and they've transitioned over to track and field. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's her name? Gabby something or another. She's a track star on the women's track team, and she's got this hair, and I don't understand how that isn't like a big sale. I mean, it is a lot of hair.
Isn't that's hindering your performance just a little bit?
I don't know. It didn't hinder her performance in the 200 meters,
but
man.
But you know what? It also puts a lot of eyes on her going, wow, look at her hair.
I mean,
look
that
at
hair
this
is,
athlete.
It's
her signature.
It's Gabby something or another. I want to say that her name is Gabby. Anyway, so I'm watching that last night. That's a better story than all of this.
Oh, yeah.
But don't come at me, oh, well, you don't know Sport America. You're not America. Well, the hell with that. I get to decide.
Yeah.
And if you're going to take a knee, if you're going to cramp on America, well, then to hell with you.
Don't support that. And you are...
Oh, Canada, they like their moose and beer. They play soccer well. They're always welcome here.
And they beat the USA.
That doesn't rhyme, Valerie.
Oh, sorry. I was trying.
I appreciate
moose and beer.
I appreciate
moose
beer.
And beer.
Moose and squirrel. All I know about Canada is moose and beer. And
yeah. Well, here's the bottom line. So they lose to Canada. They have one more match to play. That match will determine whether they win bronze or they win nothing. And they when did I see that they played? No, it's not tomorrow. That's gymnastics I'm thinking about.
Here's the nice thing is that here's where I'm at on it. And you might still be rooting against them, and I think that's legit. I'm happy and comfortable to be at a place where I don't have to invest any other emotions in the women's soccer team, right? They didn't win gold.
They're not going to win silver.
You know, I mean, look, once again, I've never rooted against it. I mean, I've always watched the Olympics. I don't watch a lot of it anymore. Yeah. I watch as I'm walking through. It's on in the background or whatever. But
I wish I could support those women that stood for the national anthem that are on the women's soccer team. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry that you got teammates that are doing what they're doing and taking a knee. I can't support that. You can't support that.
No.
And off we go. Speaking still of the Olympics, Simone Biles, did you hear this news? She's going to perform the finals on the balance beam tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not done performing. The other person that she will be competing against, Suni Lee, the one that won the gold in the overall.
Well, yeah, amongst others.
Yes.
Right.
But I mean,
the other American.
Yeah, this could be interesting to watch tomorrow. So. She said she's been dealing with mental issues is what she...
She's got the twisties.
Yeah. It's,
well, we got to...
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
We need to do this first. Westmont Lawn Care bringing you this portion of the show. Glad to have Amy and Dana and the rest of the crew on board at Westmont Lawn. We love these guys. They're an authorized Husqvarna dealer. It's look, if you have trouble with your lawnmower and you're looking for something tip top, whether it's push or ride, Husqvarna is the way to go. Husqvarna is Husqvarna is right there. They're authorized dealer at Westmont Lawn Care, and Westmont Lawn Care is located at exit 284 at the corner Hayden exit. Go and see them and tell them that I sent you. To the ladies of Husqvarna, it's Westmont Lawn Care. I cannot tell you how excited I am about, I'm about to tell you, so I guess I can, how excited I am about Jawbone Jam, and I got something in this weekend. The reveal is about to happen.
Oh.
The reveal is about to happen.
What are we revealing? Matt.
All right, don't say anything.
Okay.
By the way, it's Matt and Val. Talk99.5, talk99.5.com. Don't say anything. But look who's on line one. All right?
I see who is on line one.
You see this?
I see a package.
Manila envelope.
There's a little package that's ripped open.
Mm-hmm.
What's in? Oh!
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's the
Can
weird
I have
thing.
One?
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I've never done these. These are like you have to do them. You have to put the.
Yeah, there's a little thing that goes in.
But do you poke the thing out first or not? The thing with the thing. I don't know. I know this.
That's
hold
funny.
On. You know, hold on. I think I can do. I'll watch this. Wait. You ready?
Ready.
I gotta hold on.
You gotta
hold
go
on.
Faster. Gotta get going. No. What do you think, Cornbread?
How you doing, Matt and Matt?
He got a kazoo.
That was awesome.
Are you humming through it? You're supposed to hum through it.
I'm in attention. No hum.
Your own kazoo. Look at that. His alive kazoo version for Cornbread from Matt Murphy.
Cornbread, we have 24 of these things. Just waiting on your appearance at Jawbone Jam.
That might bring me to tears.
we're going to have
that. That would be awful nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Matt. That was really one of the high points of my life just now.
Well, that
says a lot
that's
about.
It's kind of sad, Cornbread.
A lot about your life. I think I was blowing it out of the wrong end. Do you blow it out of the big end or the little end? I think you blow it out of the big end. You blow it out of the big end and into the little end. Oh, yeah.
This portion of the show brought to you by...
Hey, Cornbread. Cornbread. Hot tip from Matt Murphy to you. It's big end to little end. Remember that.
Oh, is it?
That'll help you out in life. And tab A goes into slot B. It's also very important. What's up, Cornbread?
Well, nothing. I was going to call in and you know, with some advice to save the world, but now that you went off on this, we might as well stay over here in the gutter. You know. No, Mark Levin, the man, I could listen to him all day. The wisest man, and he knows. And look, you don't have to believe me when I tell you this. It's all written down. Y'all can look it up. our forefathers put together the greatest government this world will ever see. But they also, if you read the writings, they said it maybe years from now, there's going to be a government get in here and think that's smarter than us, think it can come up better than us, you know, and they're going to apply their government to the people. Now, what do we do then? Well, Second Amendment.
Your phone broke up there, but I think I got the Second Amendment part. I got to scoot, Cornbread. I'm sorry I have to hang up on you, but I do. Come see us Friday night.